Good afternoon, everyone. I want to call our meeting to order. Happy holidays, everybody. Looks like we've got a great crowd and possibly you've got a pretty Sheldon McKinney fan club here today. We'll find out. It's my honor and privilege to start out the meeting by introducing and welcoming our new regent. I'd like to read some of her bio before we actually do the oath of office. And so welcome to Sheldon McKinney. She is the executive director of the Kentucky FFA Foundation, a nonprofit organization that supports agricultural education in over 165 programs across Kentucky, serving more than 25,000 students. She works with corporations, individuals, and government to raise funds to accomplish the FFA vision, which is growing leaders, building communities, strengthening agriculture. Under her leadership, support of FFA in Kentucky has more than doubled. She is passionate about developing high-quality education and leadership opportunities across Kentucky that are accessible for all our students. Sheldon and her husband Bradley are both graduates of Western Kentucky University with degrees in agricultural education. She received her MS degree from Murray State University in agricultural and youth and nonprofit leadership. While a student at WKU, she was an alumni leadership scholar, served as an agricultural ambassador, block and bridle, and WKU Collegiate FFA. She is the mother of two sons, Jack and Cotton, and they reside on a farm in her hometown of Fleming County. Bradley is a high school agricultural teacher at Rowan County High School, and they are very active in their community at Better Life Church. So the term on the board begins today and will expire in June 30th, 2025. So welcome, Sheldon. So as part of the festivities, it's my privilege now to administer the oath of office, and I'll ask Sheldon to join me in the front of the room. For some reason, I have to get on this
okay.
Side. I don't know what it is. Not this part.
Not this part.
Sheldon, would you raise your right hand? I was checking. Do you solemnly swear that you will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the Commonwealth and be faithful and true to the Commonwealth of Kentucky so long as you continue a citizen thereof, and that you will faithfully execute to the best of your ability the office of member of the Board of Regents of Western Kentucky University according to law? And do you further solemnly swear that since the adoption of the present Constitution, you, being a citizen of the state, have not fought a duel with deadly weapons within the state nor out of it, nor have you sent or accepted a challenge to fight a duel with deadly weapons, nor have you acted as second in carrying a challenge, nor aided or assisted any person thus offending? So help you God.
I swear.
You are officially a regent. As part of our long tradition at Western, when you're installed as a regent, you receive a regent's pin. And it's a symbol of the honor of the office and the fiduciary responsibility that it carries. And so we would like today to present you with your regent's pin. And I gave Sheldon three choices when I gave her a fair warning. I said, you can put your pin on, or I can put it on. And she said, what about my husband putting it on? So, Bradley, this is your moment. Congratulations. Would you please place the pin on Sheldon?
Sorry, Chris.
That's it.
That's why these are very impressive.
Sheldon McKinney.
Thank you.
Now, are you related to Jason McKinney by any chance?
I don't believe so. Yeah. I'm just Faye McKinney.
Oh.
Thank you very much.
We next move to the agenda item of roll call. Secretary Gripley.
Regent Bales.
Present.
Regent Ball.
Present.
Regent Gripley.
Present.
Regent Ernst.
Present.
Regent Harris.
Present.
Regent Higdon.
Present.
Regent Henson.
Present.
Regent Sheldon McKinney.
Present.
Regent Jason McKinney.
Present.
Regent Nichols. Regent Porter.
Present.
Mr. Chair, we have 10 regents present representing the quorum of the board.
Secretary, having declared a quorum, we're now ready to conduct business, and the next item on the agenda is approval of our minutes. You've been distributed electronically our third quarterly meeting of August 2nd, 2018. Do I hear any additions or corrections to those minutes? If not, I entertain a motion for approval. Regent Bell, moved.
Second.
Regent Porter seconded. Any further discussion? Call the question. All in favor of third quarter meeting approval minutes? Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, like sign, unanimously adopted. Next, we move to the special call meeting on October 25th, 2019. Are there any additions or corrections to those minutes? Entertain a motion for approval?
Moved.
Second. Regent Ernst?
Second.
Regent Porter seconded. Any further discussion? All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed, like sign, unanimously adopted. Next item on our agenda is the nominating committee, which is reconstituted for the purpose of filling the position of vice chair. I understand Regent Ball will deliver the report from today's meeting from the nominating committee.
Yes, thank you. George Nichols couldn't be here, so he asked me to speak for him. Our committee, made up of George, David Brinkley, David Porter, and myself, would like to nominate Jason McKinney as vice chair.
Board, having received the report of the nominating committee, is there any other actions? I'm going to hear a motion.
So moved.
Motion by Regent Second. Harris, seconded by Regent Bell. All those in favor? For the appointment of Regent McKinney, Jason McKinney, to the position of vice chair, aye.
Aye.
Opposed, like sign. Unanimously adopted. At this point, we would like to install Vice Chair McKinney. If he will accompany me to the front of the room, we will administer an oath for his office. Jason, you please raise your right hand. In the presence of the board members and honored guests here assembled, do you solemnly promise and pledge to faithfully execute the duties as vice chair of the WKU Board of Regents to the best of your knowledge and ability and as set forth in the bylaws and code of ethics?
I do.
Congratulations, and I give you our new vice chair, Jason McKinney. The next item on our agenda is academic affairs. I turn to Chair Regent Bell for that matter.
Okay, Chair Higgin, we have a couple of action items, one which was discussed at our committee meetings, another which was not. The first one, AA1, concerns Faculty of America's appointments. We have several individuals that that has been recommended for. All have served the university at least 10 years, and during those 10 years have demonstrated distinguished service to our university. I think we may have one or two of them present today, do we? So we'll have a motion then like to open if they care to say anything. Anyway, it's nice to put a face with the names, and so Cheryl, would you like to say something first?
No.
Okay. All right, let's do our vote and then we'll here.
So moved.
Have a motion. Your second.
Second.
Motion and a second for approval of the emeritus appointments as included in our agenda. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Like that. All right. Thank you.
I think I'd just like to ask them to stand. I don't think anybody can do it. You're the only one. I never know. Dr. Wong, Professor of Educational Administration Leadership Research.
All right. Well, I'll add something.
Go ahead.
I had the great privilege of knowing a colleague of Dr. Wong, and some of you know that I spent about 5 days in China and saw half of the country in 5 days. Xing Ling was a remarkable guide and has been a tremendous mentor to our students, both domestically, but more importantly, from China. And seeing the way in which our alumni engaged with him, came back to see him, was just a reminder of how special WKU is, not just here domestically, but where all the places our alumni go. And so thank you for your investment of your career and for all the work you've done, and for your personal friendship.
Thank you for being here today. That'd be a man of stamina to have gone on that trip. Quite a marathon, to say the least. Second item concerns some sabbatical leave requests, and I'll ask Provost Stevens to explain that to us.
Reason that we don't submit this early is because of the deadline for sabbatical requests and then the review process. So it never ends up being on the agenda early or the month before. We did receive 12 requests through the departments to the colleges, then to me. I reviewed all 12 and have approved all 12 recommended for support of those sabbaticals for next academic year. Some will be in the fall, some will be in the spring, and there will be no additional costs associated with it.
Worth pointing out that the purpose of the sabbaticals are to enrich their professional lives and hopefully bring that back to the campus after the sabbatical. Do I hear a motion?
So moved. Second.
Second. Regent Porter, any discussion or further comments?
I just want to make a comment that I'm very delighted that this has not been cut in times of budget reductions. This is a privilege for a faculty member. It's something everybody looks forward to, and it is a chance for a faculty member to rest, to do new research, and to recharge for an upcoming period of 7 years. So I have personally experienced that multiple times.
Okay. Any other comments? If not, all those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
All those Opposed? Like sign. Motion passes. And Mr. Chair, that's all the business we have.
Thank you. We now move to the executive committee portion of the agenda. We have three action items. We'll turn attention to executive matter number one, the approval of athletic employment contract with Britt Chumley. And Todd, are you here to any comments or whatnot to address?
He joined us this past summer. It's been an excellent hire. Actually brought previous head coaching experience. He was a head coach at Bradford University. And he's done a really good job operating within a very limited budget of getting things going in the right direction. Very good addition to our staff.
So the Regents have a copy of the contract within their packet. Is there any questions or discussions with Todd Stewart or others for that matter? The action item here would be a motion to approve the contract.
So moved.
Second. Motion by Regent Brinkley, second by Regent Porter. Do we have any further questions, discussion? All in favor of approval, aye.
Aye.
Opposed, like sign. Passes unanimously. The second item of our agenda of the executive committee is the second reading of the amendment to the bylaws of the Board of Regents. It's contained within your packet. Is there any commentary or questions regarding the amendment to the bylaws?
I know, so with this bylaw, we're going to go further into the bylaw, is my interpretation, to add in the additional terms to that. Is there a timeline on when that will be completed?
Good question. And yes, if the motion passes, it's going to be my request of the board to approve an ad hoc committee to formulate responsibilities and authority, and in the interim to have a document in place to take care of our situation until we have permanent bylaws and policies. So assuming this bylaw amendment passes, then that will be the very next item we'll take up.
Thank you.
Good question. Any other questions from the Regents? Do we need to read it? Informed by Mr. Brinkley that we have to read it.
Actually, we need to read it a second time, correct?
This is your second reading.
Okay.
Do we physically need to read it?
No, you don't.
Oh,
if you have copies of it, that's the assumption is that ones have read it.
So we have a motion by Regent Brinkley to amend the bylaws.
Second.
Second by Regent Ertz. Any other discussion? All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed, like sign. Approved unanimously. The addressing.
Go ahead. Right now. The amendment to the bylaws having passed, I note there will be a period of time while the ad hoc committee develops the future policy and procedures for our approval. In the interim, I propose a member of the Board of Regents offer a motion that the current existing delegation of authority to the president remain in effect until the committee's work is complete.
Are you making that a motion, Mr. Brinkley? We have a motion by Regent Brinkley to make the current authorities and responsibilities that were in the bylaws our interim policies until such permanent policies are approved. A motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Jason McKinney. Now, any discussion? Just by way of comment, later in the agenda item, we will appoint an ad hoc committee to develop permanent authorities and responsibilities. What we've done is take the existing authorities and responsibilities that have been removed from the bylaws and reconstituted those as our interim policies until such time as we have permanent policies. Do you want to have any questions or comments on that? Passing around is a sheet that will constitute exactly what we were talking about, but in an extraction for
from the existing bylaws document. Word for word, right, Julia?
Mm-hmm.
Word for word.
Straight from the current.
I want to give everybody a moment to absorb, but if you're familiar with our district bylaws, these are word for word. Again, this would be an interim set of policies and procedures until such time as the House committee comes back with a recommendation.
Frank, can I ask a question? Were these the ones that Deborah had marked out? There were some that when she had done that revision that she deleted. Am I getting confused about what was taken out and what wasn't? There were some things that she had suggested we remove.
Those never did pass.
Okay.
Remember?
Okay.
Yeah. The amendment is kind of what is dealing with this now.
Okay.
That you all just passed.
Thank you.
We got a first and a second on that, correct? Mm-hmm. Is the board ready to vote on that action item? All those in favor of approval of these interim authorities and responsibilities, aye.
Aye.
Opposed, like so. Passes unanimously. The next item on our agenda is approval of amendment of the faculty transitional retirement program policy. I understand Provost Stewart is going to do the presentation.
In late last year, in the fall, or a couple months ago, we received notification from the Teachers Retirement System of Kentucky concerning reemployment of faculty who separate from the university under the Teachers Retirement System. Came in the form of a letter. And so because of that, the implications are that faculty who choose, who are on KTRS retirement system, in that system, can no longer participate in the transitional retirement program because of the new rule about reemployment. And that's articulated in the policy. When we were talking to Senate about the Senate Executive Committee about this change, they asked us to clarify whether faculty on the optional retirement program would be able to have to participate in transitional retirement. Looking at the policy, it's already in there. It's actually under the facts section, third sentence or so, fourth sentence. It says, effective July 1st, 1996, the university established an alternative 403B retirement program that includes different return to work provisions. And that means that people who have opted into the optional retirement program can, in fact, choose transitional retirement. So the deans and I met in a CAD meeting, and we talked about what that should look like, and should we change or keep it the same. Currently, it is set to be 2 years of transitional retirement at 3/8 of their salary compensation, with the expectation that they would teach 12 credit hours per year. You could do two in the fall and two courses in the spring, or some mixture of those. Following that conversation, or during that conversation, we arrived at the idea that a one-year transitional retirement in this current budget climate and is actually a good place for us to be. So we would lower it from 2 years of transitional retirement to one. And then to compensate them, instead of 3/8 of their salary, 50%. And that would be for 1 year. Same expectations for work. It would be 12 credit hours per year expected to teach,
or some alternate assignment that's equivalent in time and effort. Four in the fall, zero in the spring, three in the fall, one in the spring, two in the fall, two in the spring. So that's the proposal, that's the change reflected in this document.
Part of this, it seems to me, would be to keep talent in place that want to continue to teach and contribute. And 1 year seems like a short period of time, and maybe it's because I'm of that age now, but you know, as a society, I think talented teachers, particularly talented teachers, are very much needed. Is there any other mechanism after that 1 year that they could?
Yes,
still?
They could be appointed as emeritus faculty and can continue to teach. And there's a compensation for that that's higher than the regular adjunct compensation. So the idea of 1 year, when you think about where we are in terms of our budget and the challenges we have associated with that, it's a, by offering 50%, it's a little more of an incentive than what we had when it was 37.5%. But it also gives us an opportunity for renewal and for hiring some young faculty who are bringing state-of-the-art ideas, emerging understanding of areas that we have as part of our program portfolio. In order for us now to hire new faculty, we have to capture positions, dollars from other positions. And so otherwise, we become stagnant, and we don't really want to do that. We want to have the opportunity to hire young people as more senior people contribute either in different ways or retire.
Makes sense.
Do you see any chance that for those people that are in the KTRS system, that any other deal could be worked out?
So it is possible, but we have to follow the rule that they have here associated with being separate from the university for a reason, whatever the time is it?
3 months.
3 months. They have to be separate, and you can't have a pre-agreed understanding that, oh, we're going to hire you back to do this job. But it is possible.
Is that an effort the university is undertaking?
It's not an effort that we have actively pursued, but that's not to say that we wouldn't.
For those of you who are not quite as familiar with things as I am, the people who have a long service life at this university and come up currently into retirement age, they have been hired under a provision by which KTRS was the only option. Okay, and so this, what we now call optional retirement, is something we have created maybe around 10 years after I had been hired. And so for those faculty who have been here 27, 30 years, this is a loss of benefit from an original 5-year program, which was curtailed to a 2-year program, and now it has gone completely. I'm currently not aware of how many people can we have who are in the optional program who are close to retirement age. I know from my department that those who are close to retiring within the next 5 years, they're all in the KTRS program. They would not fall under this category. And I do know from faculty that some of them actually made their plan according to have this benefit in place, which now basically without prior warning, essentially get terminated. Okay. And that's my wish, that we find a way to work around this somehow, if that's at all possible.
We got a workaround, and that goes rearranged.
I understand that. I don't have a solution for this, but yeah, I understand that.
thing that comes to mind for me is really the emeritus option that allows them to continue to teach as long as they're able to contribute or want to contribute. Not quite as much money, but it's not insignificant.
What percentage of faculty is in the KTRS or takes advantage of this?
Tony, do you know that?
Takes advantage of the transitional.
The transitional term.
Well, they historically, all of them have been offered the program. And it originally was a 5-year program, reduced to a 2-year program. But the rule that the provost has described will take that option away. And so, except for the defined contribution plan participants that you described.
The option all the time.
With every professor retiring, taking the transitional retirement the last few years, I guess is my question. It's just that...
No. And in fact, some will start, spend a year or so, 2 years, and then retire out. They don't all stay. They never, when we had it for 5 years, they didn't all stay for 5. It's currently 2. They don't always all stay for 2.
Any other questions or comments? Comments, Mr. President?
So this is a rule put in place by the state that really is designed to not allow folks to pre-plan an exit from the institution with a long-term way to continue. And, I don't understand I'm not clear on the rationale behind it, but since we're subject to state rules and laws, obviously we're going to follow those. I do think that as an institution, the accumulated wisdom and experience of senior faculty is important for us to retain based upon the institution's need for those courses being offered. And I am certain that if our deans have the ability to rehire faculty who've retired to teach courses we need to be taught, they absolutely would do that. But it's not, it removes, as Regent Ernst was saying, an automatic benefit into which a faculty member used to be able to enter.
And that has to be through this emeritus.
It would have to be. At least right now, that's what we have available.
Emeritus.
Or
adjunct.
Or adjunct, but adjunct doesn't pay. It pays half of what emeritus does.
Could we just keep a database or a list of the retired faculty that want to continue teaching?
Well, we know who they are. Okay. We're hiring them now.
Dr. Gavoni, I believe to answer your one question, I believe this is to prevent double dipping for people to retire, leave, and that's probably not the appropriate word, double dipping, but that would be layman's term, double dipping, to prevent people from retiring and then turn around, coming back and working through the state of Kentucky and various other, my brother-in-law worked at the police department in Owensboro. He retired a year later, came back to work in higher pay, and he was getting benefits. And so there was something that had to be done. I mean, great for him, benefiting my family. But if you look at it in the long run, that was why it was set up. Was to start putting stricter guidelines on how retirement worked and who could draw pensions and those kind of things.
That makes sense.
And I was gaming the system, and it certainly wasn't directed only at higher education.
That's
in
right.
fact, local governments, I think we're having a significant problem with that.
So. Is the board ready to proceed with an action or conversation? More information. I need a motion and a second.
So
motion by Regent Jason McKinney. Second by Regent Bale. We have a motion. Second, call for further discussions. Hearing none, call the vote. All favor of approval, aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion adopted unanimously. Thank you, Provost Stevens. That completes the executive portion of the agenda, and we now move to finance and budget. Chair.
Okay. The first item on our agenda is presented at the committee meeting for acceptance of the auditor's report and financial statements for the fiscal year ending June 30th, 2019. Susan, do you know? Is there any further presentation on that?
Yeah.
Okay. Everybody's had a chance, and there was a presentation at the committee meetings. Do I have a motion to audit report?
Second.
All right. I think it is worth pointing out that last sentence. The independent auditor's report includes no issues to be addressed by the university.
Any further discussion or comments? Hearing none, we'll call the vote. All in favor of approval, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. FB2, approval of personnel actions, is also presented at the committee meeting. Do I have a motion to approve the personnel actions presented?
So moved.
Second. Not second.
Second.
Any discussions on the personnel actions? All right. Hearing none, I'll call the vote on that. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? FD2 passes. All right. The third item on our agenda is FD3, the acceptance of the 2019-20 first quarter statement of revenue and expenditures. That was also presented at the committee meetings. Do I have a motion to approve the statement of revenue and expenditures?
So moved.
Have a second?
Second.
All right. Do I have any discussion on the or questions for the statement of revenue and expenditures? Hearing none, I'll call the vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries as well. All right. FB4 was not presented at the committee meetings. It's approval of the WKU police reserve allocation. Susan?
Sure, so this should be pretty simple. The police department has been saving funds for about 5 years now to complete this renovation of their facilities. Currently, there's about $1.1 million to complete the $1.5 million renovation. So we're coming to you to ask you to approve the final allocation of about $399,000. And if it's approved, we would begin construction after the first of the year. Or I should say renovation.
Do I hear a motion?
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All right. Does anybody have any discussion or questions concerning the police reserve allocation?
Regent McKinney, Regent Jason McKinney, Chairman. One of the things I want to point out is if you've not been through the facilities in which our police have been working, this is well beyond time necessary for them to be able to continue functioning efficiently. And to the police department, kudos for being proactive and, I was going to say squirreling away money, but it may be white squirreling away money for several years to be able to make this happen. So it's
way over needed.
All right.
To be clear, this money is all allocated. All you're asking for us is to say
yes.
We can take it out of the reserve account.
Yes.
Okay. No further discussions. All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All
right.
All opposed? The motion carries.
All right. We move into the last section, which is other business and announcements. In conjunction with our amendment of the bylaws and the adoption of interim policy, the next thing we need to do is to appoint an ad hoc committee to develop policies and procedures. and led to the president's authority. And I would like to propose to the board a committee of five individuals to be chaired first by David Brinkley, to be composed of Regent Julie Henson and Regent Jason McKinney. And I would ask our staff chair, Julia Jennifer Miller, and then our Senate faculty chair, Julia Shadowin, to serve on that committee. So we'll have a committee of five. Shadowin, Miller, Brinkley, Henson, McKinney. So that is my proposal to the board for an ad hoc committee. Julia, I didn't get to say anything to you before because you made your grand appearance at the last minute.
I did get stopped.
You got stopped today?
Oh.
It's been a while.
It's right, been a while, yes.
How many over?
I was going 85.
We can strike that comment.
Yes, right. I was talking on my phone again, too.
So, Dr. Capps, I don't need a motion, but I would like to just garner consent from the board. Is that correct?
To adjourn?
No, to the ad hoc committee.
No, all you have to do is appoint it.
Okay. So, does anybody have any pushback or heartburn with that, those individuals serving? And I appreciate the staff and the Senate folks coming on board. I will be honest, I have not had a chance to reach out to Ms. Shadowin yet, but Jennifer gladly volunteered. Will?
And will there be a time frame on that?
As soon as possible. It's a very important policy, and I want to make sure that they have an opportunity to collaborate, and more importantly, to share that collaboration with the president, because I think
you can designate a time if you'd like. Since you appointed the committee, you can designate a time when they will be finished.
Chair Brinkley of that committee, what would you propose as a good timeline for you?
I would say no later than the second calendar year board meeting.
So looking at our cheat sheet.
So is that the fourth? Would
March 6th? That's our next quarterly meeting. It gives you 2 months plus.
We could do preliminaries. I'm looking at the staff senate chair to get a nod. I got a nod, so we could do a preliminary reading for board testing on March 6th. Unless Julie is, do you have any? You good?
Okay.
I didn't ask Jason.
I was going to say Jason's got taxi.
I'll be fine for March 6th as long as it's not April 10th.
Mr. Chair, I think it's important maybe for the audience to know, too, this initiative was at least in large part initiated by the president. So this is a very collaborative effort from the administration and the board to try to bring our policies up to date with current environments and so forth. So no one should view this as anything other than making our policies be what they should be.
Very well said and absolutely spot on. Anything to add, Mr. President?
No, I think it's a way for us to make sure that leadership of the institution has clear direction. Clear responsibilities, and when necessary or appropriate, I would suggest relatively rare times that there is not just oversight, but requirement for approval from the board, particularly as it relates to contractual matters.
And just a side comment, obviously our committee structure should reflect the board's principle of shared governance, and we've asked the staff. Engagement in that new dynamic. Anything else on the ad hoc committee or responsibilities. I think we've answered your question, Will, going back to initially the stopgap measure that takes care of. The next item is committee assignments with the change in our region profile. I have asked Regent Shelley McKinney if she would serve on the finance committee to take my spot on it. And the other committee's assignments will remain the same. And she's coming around that will reflect that. In other business, I'd like to call on Amanda Trebue to make a very important announcement, a special announcement.
Thank you, Regent Higdon. Today, I'm so pleased to recognize Regent Julie Harris Henson, a 1990 WKU alumna from Louisville.
What was her age in 1991?
I know. Many of you may have read yesterday the press release. Today, I am delighted to recognize Regent Henson for two new philanthropic commitments to WKU, totaling $110,000. First is a $60,000 pledge to establish two new funds, the Julie Harris Henson Opportunity Fund for the Intercultural Student Engagement Center, and another Opportunity Fund for Student Public. Both of these funds will provide annual support for students in these programs while building a long-term endowment. Regent Henson has also committed an additional $50,000 to support more than 10 programs across campus where she feels deeply passionate, including the WKU Sisterhood, where she is a founding member and the current chair, the WKU Alumni Association, where she was a former president, the Suzanne Vitale Clinical Education Complex, the Hilltopper Athletic Foundation, the Greater Louisville Alumni Scholarship, and many, many other areas across campus. An 11-year consecutive donor to the university, Regent Henson, we are grateful for your generosity and investment in our students. And today, we couldn't thank you more for all that you do for the institution.
Chair Higdon, if I may,
please.
So I have many fond memories of my interactions, really my first one being during the interview process of becoming president. And what was evident from our first meeting was her passion and deep care for WKU, but in particular the students who are in our charge. And since I've been here, Julie, you've been nothing but supportive of our efforts to make sure every student who comes to this institution has the opportunities that they deserve and that we should be providing them. So thank you for your leadership, for your passion, for your personal friendship and support of me, but most importantly, for your deep care and for our students and in the future. Thank you.
Julia, if I might add, your copper spirit is contagious. It's such a role model for the rest of us to see your contribution to this university, both with time, talent, and stewardship. And it's a challenge for all of us to follow. I want to thank George Nichols and Philip and Kristen Bale and other regents that before you have gone to continue this role model, but especially thanks to you today at this time of year for doing what you do. Anyone else?
Thank you, guys. I just felt like since we're going into a capital campaign, that if you all needed me to help ask for money, I need to pony up first. It's a lot easier if you pony up to ask somebody else for money. And I'll be more than happy sponsoring kind of event you'd have to have in Louisville when we start the capital campaign, and we'll go along like we always do. But I just felt it was important, and Mike and I have talked about it. Mike and I have been given pretty regularly over the last few years about an $18,000 to $20,000 a year. Things where I just felt or wanted to be, just things I like. And Mike's allowed me to do it, thank goodness. Although I am the boss, so you all know that. I control everything. But and just to make it funny, but I do have to say thank you to Mike Henson because I couldn't do this if he didn't support it 100%. And it's so funny, when you all did the press release, there are a lot of people that like me out there. I have heard some stories about myself, and I'll only tell this one because it's kind of funny, because my parents, since I was in college, bought me a AAA membership. And until I am 55 years old, and I still get a AAA membership in Christmas time for my parents, even though whatever car I've had, since then it usually includes, but somebody put a story that said they knew that I was had a giving nature because I helped them when they had a car problem back when we were like freshmen and sophomores in college, and I called AAA, and it was one my parents had given me. So it was kind of neat to see that AAA membership come back because I had to lose it, use it last week, too. Yeah, we've had a good week. Anyway, so, and I'm just trying to make light of it because whenever you all kind of pay attention to me like this, it makes me a little uncomfortable. I say funny things and I talk on and on, but thank you all for saying nice things, and I do appreciate it. And this does make me a bit emotional. Okay, we can stop now.
All right. another announcement. As part of the school media transformation to accommodate the growing film and broadcasting programs, Dean Larry Snyder invites anyone interested in seeing the renovated space to proceed up to the third floor for a tour after the meeting. With your agenda are our upcoming dates. Of course, the most important one is tomorrow. Our recognition ceremonies for the graduates, evidence of what we're here for and what it's all about. So please, for those of you that can join us, please do so. Take a look at the meeting schedule to get it on your calendar. With that being said, we're at the end of our agenda, but before I close out, is there anybody that has anything else in the spirit of the holidays they'd like to say? If not, it's been a great year, and we look forward to a new region joining us and going about the work of this university. We are adjourned.